2FM Mornings
with Laura Fox
Podcast.
Sponsored by Maxall. From kids' lunches to tonight's dinner, you'll find bags more to get you through the week at Maxall.
Now, we all know how difficult relationship breakups can be, but friendship breakups can also be really, really hard, and it can be devastating for a lot of people. Here now to talk about dealing with friendship breakups is psychologist Padraig Walsh. Padraig, you are very welcome back to the show.
Thank you very much, Laura.
Did you enjoy a little bit of Chaperone there before you came in?
It was quite the lead-in song, I must say.
It was a lot of yee-haws going on in the
first time I came in here. You had Fontaines playing, and I thought, yes, this is the kind of song I want just before I come on.
Yeah.
But look, I'll take Chaperone anyway.
No, we gotta keep you on your toes.
Yeah.
Padraig, right. Why are friendship breakups so incredibly hurtful for some people?
So we need to go back to the nature of friendship. So friendships are crucially important. They've become a real area of study in psychology the last 10, 20 years. You know, there was lots of attention given to romantic relationships, but now we're looking at friendships as a way for us to have longer, more satisfying, healthier lives. So much so that the World Health Organization are saying, look, if you want to live a longer, healthier, happier life, make sure you stay socially connected. That can be friends, or it can even be things like weak ties. So friendships are really important. And in our brains, that attachment that we have to our family, to our romantic significant others, can also be applied to people who we count as within our friendship circle.
Yeah. Ghosting, obviously such a huge thing in the dating world. But like, if a friend ghosts you, should you try and find out why?
So straight in there, straight in.
Yeah,
quick
I'm
question.
Not messing around.
Yeah, of course. It depends on the nature of your relationship. Like, so we have moved friendships from a very analog space where we were meeting people through. So 2018 was an interesting year. 2018, up until then, any data that was taken on where you met your romantic partner, all the way from when records began right up to 2018, it was always either through work, through friends, or in a sports club. But that year was the first time that people started to report that I met my significant other online. And that brought a whole host of different changes to the world at that point, right?
Isn't that wild?
Yeah, it was up to that point. But now it's a kind of a given that you would expect that people would meet or greet online. Yeah. But it's so easy to just ignore somebody when they're in the digital world. It's so easy to ghost. And when you think about the nature of that being an option, do I stay in contact with somebody or do I just ignore them? In real life, it's really difficult to ignore somebody where you're meeting them all the time.
Yeah.
But in the digital world, it is the easier option. So in behavioral psychology, we will talk about the path of least resistance. We will choose the behavior or the option that is just the easier quite often. And in the digital world, ghosting is quite easy.
Yeah. And I don't know, especially when it comes to friends sometimes, I think sometimes it can be a little bit hard because you can be overwhelmed with like emails, text messages, WhatsApp, Instagram notifications, TikTok notifications. Like, it's not that you're ghosting, you just completely forget to respond to people a lot of the time.
Totally. And setting those boundaries is really, really important, really interesting. So I have friends that I know will not answer my phone call.
Yeah.
And they'll say, look, I just can't. I'm one of those people.
Yeah.
You just know you've got two small kids. You're really busy at work. You just don't try and answer me. Don't try and ring me because I'm just not going to be able to answer. And there are people who set limits. I remember my wife when I met her first and we would be texting and she would just say, okay, it's 9:30. I'm going to bed.
I'm out.
10 o'clock. And you would know, okay, we're not going to be texting after that point in time. So being very clear, being very explicit is important. So ghosting is where you actually don't give people those boundaries. You don't give a reason why this has stopped.
Yeah.
But like you're asking about friendship breakups and ending a relationship. It's like you're almost looking for tips here, Laura. I'm really interested in this segment as somebody who's writing their wedding list, their wedding guest list right now.
I'm finding it very hard, Mark.
I got married 3 years ago and I have more cousins than there are states in the United States of America. Okay. So when I sat down to write my wedding list, I thought, oh my goodness, how am I going to fit any of my friends in? I'm just going to have to fall out with them. So is that what's going through your head right now?
Because I've got 27 cousins and they all have to come. So I'm going to have to pick fights somewhere. I've got too many friends and Kate has to come. So, I mean, who am I going to drop here? Andrew? Andrew, you're definitely going
100%. That was a look.
I know he actually is like, oh God. Just actually, because you will be here for the next couple of minutes, but if you do have any questions for Padraig, you can text us in on 51552 or you can WhatsApp us on 087 187 9200. Okay. moving aside from my wedding list, right, that I will off air try and get some help if I can break up with people from that. But is it a good thing, right? Like, let's say with your friendships, is it a good thing not to have too many expectations from a friendship?
So, let's set a few things importantly about friendships. They are not monogamous.
Okay.
Relationships, friendships, like, you know, most romantic relationships are monogamous. Mm. But so that can amplify the impact of a breakup because there's one person 100% in and then there's a breakup and that can feel really, really traumatic. However, with friendships, friendships are polygamous. We can have lots and lots of different friends and that has to be explicitly said because we all know certain people whose idea of friendship is very intense. Mm-hmm. Now, when I started cooking, when I moved to Galway 20 years ago to go to college and I had to learn how to cook, I knew that you turned on the oven to 200 degrees or it was zero. And same on the pots, you know, like you'd boil water. It was either 10 or zero.
Yeah.
And that was it. So if I was cooking rice, it was going to be burnt at the bottom of the pan or it was going to be off and really, really cold. However, only recently I discovered there's like other numbers in there. There are simmer pots that actually cook things really, really nice. So with friendships, sometimes the mistake that we can make is that we feel they need to be at 8, 9, 10 all the time.
Okay.
But actually there are friendships that we can move on to the simmer pot. And it's not necessarily down to the person themselves. It can be down to circumstances. So one of my 50 plus cousins, Orla Gately, I need to give congratulations here. Orla Gately and her hubby Mark Healy had baby Tig last week.
Congratulations.
And yeah, congratulations to the guys. And Orla is moving now into mothership, right? And to parenthood. And that's a set of circumstances which, you know, can really impact friendships and can lead to calls not being answered, text messages not being responded to. And it can change the nature of relationships for all of us. Circumstances where you move abroad, where you change jobs, where you probably grow and as an individual and have different opinions can mean that the relationship that you had once, the friendship that you had once isn't the same. Not necessarily that we need to fall out. So I'm a big fan, Laura, of rather than turning it down to zero and saying we're not friends anymore, to putting it onto the simmer pot. So all almost mentally reframing this to go, okay, do you know what? We're still friends and we can pick up the phone in 2-3 years time and still pick up where we left off. But for the moment, we're just going to put this on the simmer pot.
Yeah, I think they're always the greatest friends as well. The ones that you can actually not speak to for 5 years and then jump back in and it's like no time has passed at all and it's not awkward at all. You talked obviously there about like, you know, the pot being up to 10 and the oven being at 200 degrees. Like, are some people just more naturally inclined to have intense friendships to just be a bit too much?
Yeah, and a lot of that can come from like your experiences in childhood and early adolescence. So where you've been involved in large group activities. So for instance, the more sport that you play or the more large group activities you have. I don't know, is it whether like it's still unclear whether it's down to the fact that you just naturally have more friends because you're more involved, or is it because you are learning different skills around building many, many different friendships, rather than if you're not involved in those and you have one or two clear friends, that can be a pattern, a behavioural pattern that emerges. Do you know what I mean? That that you bring into adulthood and that can amplify the impact of a friendship breakup. If you have a smaller group of friends and you don't necessarily, you know, make the effort to make friends as you go throughout your lifespan, because our lifespan, you know, the friendship in our lifespan can be really tricky. You know, our fruitful, most fertile period for making friends is our late teens, early 20s, all the time. You've loads of friends, you're doing lots of sports, you have friends of friends, you have a great social life.
Yeah, you're going out all the time. So you've got all these friends that, you know, you're seeing like 2-3-4 times a week, if not more. You're talking all the time, you're constantly connected and you don't have jobs and you don't have partners.
When you have a partner, the research says you lose 3 close friends. So that's really important to take note of, that it just naturally the time committed to the one, to their one, means that like on average about 2-3 close friends kind of get moved out. So don't think about friendship. Think about friendship like a series of circles going out and out and out. Okay. So there's some within your inner circle. There's about 7-8 that we naturally will have. Then outside of that, you can have 20, 25, 30, right? Then the rest are going to fill the tables at your wedding. So there could be about 150 people that are naturally you're in contact with, right? But that close circle gets smaller as you get older, because you'll have less time. You'll be more committed to work, to your loved ones, to whatever else goes on. So as you get older, it's really, really, really important to put in the effort to your friendships, because we know they help us live longer. They know they help us live healthier and happier, but they don't become as easy to maintain as they do in our late teens, early 20s.
Yeah. But do you think as well, I'm asking you so many off the cuff questions here, but there are some friendships that are just naturally easier. So they're easier to just, you know, they're there. You don't mind being in contact with them all the time because it's not, you're not explaining yourself. You're not going into it. It's kind of nearly like, you know, popcorn for your brain conversations. You can just ramble on the phone to them.
And so the research has shown that you're aligned on your values, what you find important in life. There are things that you just get each other within that. And that can make that relationship, those conversations, the picking up of the phone feel seamless. Other times it can feel jutty and awkward where there are differences. So sometimes you might have been put together with somebody due to, you know, you lived beside each other or you were friends of friends or you played on the same team. But actually, when you're left by yourself, you don't really have much in common with them. So you've got to ask yourself, is this something that you keep on the boil, you put on the simmer pot, or is it somebody who, you know, is rather inside your inner circle of friends just due to circumstances?
Yeah.
But actually, do you know what? They're probably a good acquaintance to have.
We've got a text in here that says, Padraig, what do you think about the notion of having a best friend? Is that a lot of pressure to put on a friendship?
An interesting question. It's nice to know that somebody thinks you're their best friend. I like to always ask the question, who's in your top five best friends?
Yeah.
You know, if I said to you, what's your favourite movie, you're going to freeze. But if you say, who's in your top five?
Amy, Lorraine, Laura. Yeah, I can do this all day. Emma.
Right. So you don't have one best friend.
Yeah.
It kind of put pressure on that, because remember we said friendships are polygamous.
Yeah.
So that there isn't, and you start to get into ranking and do you like me as much as I like you?
Yeah.
And that's not what friendship is about. It's not a competition. Friendship is about something that helps, you know, manage stress, make us happier, you know, get us through tough times, have a laugh, have the crack. That's what friendship's about, you know?
Okay, because obviously we need to talk about like the actual breakup of something, okay? If you feel like, you know, your relationship is strained in a friendship, like how do you know if it's worth saving or if it's just one of those ones that, you know, maybe you should just leave it and let it go to zero and just, you know, walk away from it?
Are you comfortable having a frank conversation with this person?
Okay.
So if it's somebody that you are going, you know what, do I value their relationship? Perhaps they are feeling the exact same way.
Yeah.
Perhaps they're finding that the relationship is just as stressful, but you haven't, you know, you're both so agreeable in your personality type that you've never broached the subject of going, maybe we don't need to, you know, be as close as friends or force this as much, you know? Personally, I'm a big fan of this idea of a simmer pot and the idea of natural attrition, that the dynamic of your relationship can change. We can still stay in touch.
Yeah.
We can still be acquaintances, but we don't need to have a big blowout or a big reason. You know, sometimes where we frame relationships as, you know, it's either your fault or it's my fault. You know that idea, it's not you, it's me, right? Let's bring a third party in here, which is our circumstances, our lifespan, you know, just events. And maybe that third party is the reason that we're actually going to change and shift the dynamic of our relationship. Because if you sit down and it becomes too intense and you start to turn up that pot, what ends up happening? You could end up falling out and never talking again.
Yeah.
And I believe me, like, as you go through your lifespan, there are people who will drift in and out and in and out of your life. So you don't want to completely exclude somebody because of a big relationship falling out.
So like if you just feel like there isn't any connection anymore with someone, is it just easier to just kind of go about your life? You know, like not have this sit down and this blowout, because then, like you said, that could just let it boil over. Whereas if you kind of are just like, I'm just going to take a breather, separate myself from the situation for a bit, and maybe in a year or two, I mightn't have the same feelings about this person anymore, and it'll be easier for them to come back in. Whereas if you've had the blowout, that's harder to repair.
It can be harder to repair. It's easier.
Yeah.
It's easier to ignore it. Like we said at the very start of this, it's easier to ghost.
Yeah.
You know, the path of least resistance is digital ghosting.
Yeah.
However, what you're trying to each circumstances, each relationship.
Look at me justifying the ghosting in my head there. I'm like, well.
I know. I can see Laura has a list in front of over here of her wedding list going, okay, this one I can do here, this one I can do here, this one I can do here. But what you have is this idea that, you know, you can, if your relationship is something that you both really value and you can be frank and honest, you know, there's friends who you're so close with and you can be completely frank and honest with, and you can try and resolve it and you evaluate and say, is this worth saving? And oftentimes it is.
Yeah.
And we figure it out. You know, I've had friends before, Laura, where I know we can be really good friends because we'd have a big falling out.
Yeah.
And 30 seconds later, we look at each other, smile and go, right, that's done. And we can move on with our lives, okay?
Yeah.
If you have a disagreement and it lingers and it festers and you really can't get over it, then you both need to have the conversation and say, well, is this worth saving? Like, or is this really repairable?
Should you feel bad? Should you feel bad if you do want to end a friendship? If you just don't want this person in your life anymore for, like, you know, a number of reasons. Maybe one of them is just that they're a bit of a downer and it's a little bit toxic and you're just kind of like, I'm not in the space for this anymore. Like, should you add your own guilt in on top of that? Or should you just be like, well, this is the right decision for me right now?
Ooh, feeling bad and feeling guilty for not wanting to be friends with someone.
Yeah.
Can be tricky, but do you feel bad for having an honest conversation with them? Like, would you feel bad having an honest conversation with this person saying, look, here's how I'm feeling. Here's where I'm at. Here's where these are the reasons that I don't want to stay in touch. So it might be that you've just drifted apart, and that's absolutely natural.
But what about on the flip side then, if it's not that it's drifted apart, that this person has kind of scorned you or burned you a little bit behind the scenes?
Then you're talking about conflict.
Yeah.
And that's completely different. So where there's a friendship where you've drifted apart, you know, natural attrition can occur.
Yeah.
You know, it's like pruning back the dead leaves on a plant, you know, some of them just, some friendships just run their course. If there is conflict, if there's something that happened and you value this friendship, then you call them up on it.
Okay.
If this is a friendship that you value and somebody has deviated from what you think you should have as a relationship, maybe they've broken your trust.
Yeah.
Or maybe they've done something that you really don't agree with. And you value their friendship, you got to call them up on it.
Okay.
You got to have that conversation. If you don't and you just go behind their back, really, are they your friend? Do you respect them enough?
Yeah.
And how would you feel if the stuff you said behind their back, even though you might feel like it's right, what if they heard it? How would you feel they'd respond to that?
So many bloody questions right now that you threw back on me. I was supposed to be asking you the questions boring today. Thank you so much for coming into us, sorting out my wedding list. I've now realised I can put some people on the simmer pot. Come back some a couple of years' time and we'll be all right. And I suppose at the end of it, what you are saying is, like, communication is kind of key. It's like talking about it.
Three tips to maintain a friendship. One, and this is backed by science, okay?
Okay.
One, assume people like you. So if you're trying to make friends, assume people like you. You actually approach the dynamic, the friendship, a lot different.
It's actually a nice way of going about life, isn't it?
It is. It totally is, right? Because we often self-doubt ourselves. The second thing is listen to other people.
Yeah.
Actually listening to them means that you're really engaged. Like, sometimes friendships can be just a dump, you know, and that, you know, when you're talking about something that could be a toxic relationship where somebody just dumps stuff on you and you go, do you know what? I feel exhausted after this.
Yeah.
That can be a sign that you need to cut it short. And the final thing is practice and invest in your friendship. Are going to help you long term to live a happier, healthier life.
There's selfish reasons for wanting a very healthy friendship. Oh, psychologist Paul Riquot, it was so great to have you again. You even managed to turn a topic like breaking up with a friend into a bit of crack and kind of a bit fun, and it makes me feel a little bit better because you're like, no, it's actually okay. We'll just have a conversation with these people. We will see you again shortly. No doubt we'll be picking your brain about something, but right now we're going to go to a quick ad break.
2FM Mornings
with Laura Fox.
Podcast.
Sponsored by Maxall. From kids' lunches to tonight's dinner, you'll find Bagsmore to get you through the week at Maxall.